Sweetie.
And good morning, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. I know, and you're here, and you're here. I don't know what's going on here today. Everybody's here, and that's it.
Oh, Happy New Year. Yeah. I haven't seen you guys in a couple of weeks.
You haven't? Yeah. You haven't. What's been going on with you?
No, nothing.
Just haven't bothered coming on Wednesday morning.
But nothing's going on. And no, where do we rank?
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for showing up, Laurent.
It's called trying to get a three-year-old ready who fights with you.
And so the terrible twos are over.
Oh, my God, no. It's the terrible threes. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they got this terrible twos thing. It's been really bad. She hasn't been three years old for, what's today's date?
The 18th. It's her one.
Okay, yesterday made 1 month, and she has been three, and it's been a whole different world.
Uh-huh, good. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're happy to see you. I've seen the pictures. She looks just like you now.
Yeah.
She used to look more like Annie.
I know, isn't it weird?
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of cow semen.
Boy, one minute in, he worked that in?
I know, I was gonna leave that to the third segment of the show. Our guest today is Scott Whittall, who is the executive director, newly appointed executive director of the Cedar Springs Merchants Association. It's not a position they've ever had before, but now Scott is actually, instead of just going to be president because he was a merchant on Cedar Springs, he's going to be the executive director of the organization because A, nobody else wanted the job, and B, because he's no longer a merchant on Cedar Springs. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Good morning.
And should we talk about your cow semen business now, or should we hold
on? Let's work into that later. I think people need to get some coffee.
Please do.
Yeah, if you didn't have your coffee, you need to
And we'll just see if Laurent asks those
probing questions.
I think I'll be gone by then.
You will be, and I hope you'll be listening because we will be embarrassing you. The Cedar Springs Merchants Association. Cedar Springs has been the center of the gay and lesbian community here in Dallas for 30 years or so.
At least, yes.
At least, but really when the gay community just took over the strip on Cedar Springs and all of the old businesses that were there, like, there was a little office supply place where JR's is, and there were a couple of other, there was a laundromat over where I think Tape Lenders is, or one of those.
Right, there's flower shops, there were old vinyl shops, VVV Records was there, there was a candy store. It's changed a lot in 30 years.
Yeah, and now it's all upscale. It's mostly owned and run by the gay and lesbian community.
That's correct.
And it has been in its current format with a variety of different stores for about 30 years.
And I think that the neighborhood's probably a lot different, not just with the gentrification that's gone on in the area, but over time, I think there are still some people in Dallas that think that all the gay people live in Oak Lawn and somewhere, you know, near the Strip. And I think it's probably been a large population back when and still is, but we live all over the city of Dallas.
Oh, no question. I think that's a big myth now. I mean, the gay neighborhood is no longer the gay neighborhood. I mean, there's been a lot. If you've been driving around in that, and we call it our little quadrant, you know, basically from Wycliffe to Oak Lawn and then basically Cedar Springs or kind of Lemon over to Maple, there's been a lot of development in that area. A lot of new businesses have come in, a lot of new basic condominiums. I mean, that Allume, for example. And then, I mean, but there's a lot of new condominium buildings that come in. And a lot of this, the gay people who actually, you know, probably 90, 95%, you know, living around there are gone. I mean, we've moved out. We're, you know, we are accepted everywhere. So we're filtering onto the suburbs and, you know, and so I would say it's probably 60-40 now, you know, 60% gay, 40% straight, and that's going to continue to change, and I think that's great.
You know? I was going to say, do you think that's a bad or a good thing?
No, I think it's a great thing. I mean,
I think it's a great thing for the community.
Right.
You know? I mean, I can look around just my voting precinct, and there's probably 25, 30 gay couples that live in my precinct alone.
And where are you? What part of Dallas are you in?
We're over in Old Lake Highlands.
Okay.
You know, just north of the lake.
You know, I lived in D.C. for a year back in the 90s, and the gayborhood there was DuPont. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like that anymore.
Right.
No, it's changed everywhere. It's sort of like Cedar Springs is entertainment district for our community. Lots of people kind of.
It has changed, but I mean, there's like not even many gay businesses there anymore. So is there any fear in our community if that'll happen to Oak Lawn?
You know, there's always that small fear there. I think that Cedar Springs is unique as opposed to a lot of the other gay neighborhoods around the country because, A, I would say that 85% of the businesses on Cedar Springs are still gay-owned. And that's, you know, I mean, there are almost 60 businesses on Cedar Springs, and most of them are gay-owned. And I, but you know what? We're not pushing the fact that Cedar Springs is the gay street. Nothing about, you know, not diminishing any pride whatsoever. I mean, what we're saying is Cedar Springs is a vibrant, It's a great street. We've put a lot of effort in reviving it. We put a lot of effort in reviving it as the gay street, you know. But at the same time, we're basically saying Cedar Springs is an eclectic entertainment district where you can shop, where you can now, you know, live. Right on Cedar Springs, where you can eat, you can party, obviously. That's really what we're known for, is our nightlife. And so, you know, it's an eclectic street, and everybody's welcome there. And, yes, we are very, you know, we are the gay strip, but at the same time, everybody's welcome, and we want everybody to come and enjoy the shops and the restaurants and the clubs and the salons. And the, there's a lot of service businesses there, like the UPS store, you know. And I mean, we've got a couple new gay-owned UPS store, and we have new businesses. Tyrific just opened, which we're very excited about. Danny's amazing, and his staff is amazing, and his food is great and moderately priced, and it's very good. You know, I say moderately priced. Actually, you can have a great lunch there for under $10. So it's we're really excited, you know. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but...
And, you know, what I think is so cool is that you can, if you really have, like, I'll just go spend the day, it's a great place to go spend the day.
Oh, yeah.
You can park your car, and you can walk safely pretty much everywhere and really see a lot of different shopping, a lot of different sites, eat a lot of different food. There's a lot going on.
Well, I like the way you said safely, too, because, you know, that's something that over the years has been an issue. And I think that, and that's another part of the whole developing neighborhood around it, you know, where things have changed. And
so how can I put this politely? So why are you killing your pedestrians? <You know.
laughs> We should be laughing about that. We have had, you know, 4 incidents in the last couple of months. But
actually, there was another last night. It wasn't on Cedar Springs. It was on Oaklawn.
Was it?
Really? Another pedestrian.
Well, I understand McKinney Avenues have had problems, too, and Knox Henderson's and Davis, and I mean, there's anywhere where you're going to have a concentration of people trying to cross at non-marked and unsafe areas. Unfortunately, one of our fatalities was on a crosswalk, but it wasn't a marked crosswalk, and that's a problem. We've really done a lot to improve it since all this has been happening in 2 months. You know, unfortunately, you have to use, you know, incidents like this to get something out of it. And, you know, so we've been working very closely with the city. We actually had a meeting last week on Cedar Springs. It was actually held on Cedar Springs with Councilwoman Hunt and Councilwoman Medrano. We had people from Streets Services, City of Dallas Planning, and we have a really, you know, concrete plan, which is a lot of things are actually happening today. Certain crosswalks are being eliminated. Certain crosswalks are being painted. Flashers are being put in. Very unique flashers are being put in. They're eye level, kind of solar powered flashers. So when a pedestrian's crossing in a crosswalk, the person who's driving the car, his eyes will be at the same level as the pedestrian and the flasher. So that way you aren't looking up, you're not looking down, you're looking forward. Unfortunately, one of the incidents last month, which was not a fatality, but it was a school, one of the kids from Sam Houston School was going to the library, and there are 2 crosswalks down there, and one is unmarked, and I mean it's painted on the pavement, but as far as signs and flashers, there aren't any. So all of that's being taken care of right now. We're getting flashers on them. Long-term plans, a stoplight probably at Knight Street, which we need desperately. I think you'll notice that if you're driving down Cedar Springs, especially if you're going north on Cedar Springs towards the airport, The 3900 block is all, there's parking on the street. And once you pass,
which is where most of the business
are. Right, which is where most of the business are. But now you have a Loom, and now you have the, you know, Bank of America, and you've got Kroger down there, which is growing and growing and growing. And so you do have a lot more foot traffic down at that end of the street once you've passed the Throckmorton going towards Wycliffe. And if you'll notice, there is no on-street parking there. So people kind of tend, the first thing they see when they pass Throckmorton is the next stoplight way down there at Wycliffe. And if it's green, they gun it, you know. And so there's no cars pulling out, so they just, it's just kind of like an open ticket to speed on down there and try to catch that light. Well, if we put a stoplight in at night, that'll stop all that. And that should slow it down. And I guess
and
long,
the day,
long range.
Not just at night.
Do what? I'm sorry?
During the day, not just at night.
Right. Well, it's true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so.
No, night street is what it's
called. Yeah, yeah. Can I?
I'm sorry. That just went right over my. It's too early for that, David. Try me a nine.
He's going to go pine the rest of the hour.
You're doing fine.
But don't you think that, I mean, we're really bad about this, too. I know I've done it, but we're really notorious in that area for jaywalking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
People, especially you know, later in the evening, and people are out partying and stuff, and they'll just cross the street any old where they please. And we've got to do a better job, I think, of, you know, really saying the cool thing to do is to cross the crosswalk.
Well, no, I mean, I think that you'll find statistics show that most pedestrian incidents are the pedestrian's fault, and because they're crossing somewhere that's not a published crosswalk.
The fourth incident happened in a crosswalk. It was an older man. He was about 70 years old. He was in the crosswalk. Traffic had actually stopped, and somebody pulled around from behind one of the stopped cars and zoomed and hit him.
Was this this
was the fourth incident.
The fourth
incident. The last one.
Right.
He wasn't hurt badly. He's fine. It's just this guy was on his cell phone. Wasn't paying
well,
attention.
Well, there's a story that came out yesterday that had done a study that the incident of accidents with people having headphones on, talking on a cell phone, but particularly headphones or earbuds, like listening to iPods or whatever, has tripled since like 2000 because we're that inattentive. We don't hear. And like there was a woman who was just, you know, bowled over and killed on Katy Trail, just jogging with her earbuds because she didn't hear the bike.
The bicycle coming right.
You know,
and that Katy Trail gets crazy. I know. I was up there Sunday, and it was insane because it was so beautiful outside.
People should at least take their or mute their earbuds when they're crossing the street.
Right. Or listen in one ear.
You know, got to stay alive.
You know, like that.
You know, David, you were saying that the guy zoomed around another car and, mm-hmm. and that was stopped. Well, long-range plans for Cedar Springs is possibly looking at narrowing it to two lanes. And that way, that would never happen, because if somebody stopped, you have to stop. And
narrowing to two lanes meaning putting in extra parking spaces? And
probably widening the sidewalks, making it more pedestrian-friendly, obviously. And obviously, the businesses would be very happy. I mean, those restaurants that would like outdoor dining would probably get it. And you know, there's a lot more room to walk on the street. I mean, entertainment districts, whether it's Cedar Springs or Knox Henderson or that all the areas, they, you know, we're all experiencing the exact same problems right now, and growing pains, really. And you know, we just have to, as you said, educate people where to cross the street. And if we give them multiple places that are well marked and well lit to cross the street, then that's
and I guess one thing we're just not used to here in Dallas are having pedestrians, because in 95% of the city there aren't any.
Well, it's true, you know. But as for 30 years, Cedar Springs has them, you know. And you know, it's gone up and down as far as the, you know, how many pedestrians are walking. And at any given time at night, it's crazy down there. I mean, you know, when you, especially on the weekends. Unfortunately, that leads us into saying, if we're going to get all these new crosswalks and we're going to mark them or we're going to put the flashers on them, then we're going to unfortunately have to enforce walking across them and utilizing, you know, the safe marked crosswalks. So we've basically, you know, backed the Dallas Police Department saying you need to come down and enforce it for a while. You know, basically,
so that means you'll actually get ticketed for.
You could get ticketed. I think, you know, they were being nice enough to say, well, maybe we'll warn for a while and say, you know, if this continues to happen, then we'll have to start ticketing.
And it's not ticketing like happened 30 years ago, which was just harassment by the police department and had nothing to do with safety.
You remember years ago, Paul Williams, the gay comic from Dallas,
Paul J.
observed that, you know, that people in Dallas who are walking, you know, most people think they're homeless. If you're walking in the street of Dallas, you must be homeless. You know?
Because everybody has a car.
That's exactly right. Okay.
Everybody's got their horse. You know, so it's just interesting to me. Now I think about that when I see somebody walking along the street. You know, is he a pedestrian or is he a homeless guy?
You know, one of the other things that you've done with the Cedar Springs Merchants Association is you've been raising money and using a lot of that money, you know, through events and other things, and using a lot of that money to actually beautify the streets. I bet some people who've been by there just think that the benches that have suddenly shown up, the new trees that have shown up, the repaired sidewalks is just, well, the city just does that because
right, no,
this is their heart and their budget surplus.
Hello, city, if you're listening, we'd love some of that. Thank you.
With the huge budget surplus that we have here in Dallas, they're just spending on beautification projects in the city. That's not true, is it?
No, I mean, obviously, you know, any sidewalk improvements, anything that's basically off the street is up to us or the property owners. And, you know, the Merch Association, we got together probably 6 years that we've been concentrating on raising funds, not just for beautification, but, you know, we've started a lot of events on Cedar Springs that weren't there 6 years ago. And obviously that takes a lot of money to get out there and you know, organize an event and advertise an event and then build it up to the kind of numbers that we're finally seeing. And we knew it was kind of a long-range plan to build up a lot of these events. But those events, you know, eventually we knew would start bringing in money of their own. And then we have long-range plans, obviously, to finish, you know, beautifying the sidewalks, make them a little wider, bring in more trees. We're really wanting to do some gateway arches, basically announce, you know, that you're entering and leaving the Cedar Springs Entertainment District, the strip on Cedar Springs. A couple weeks ago in our first meeting of the year, we've decided to announce a contest to basically create a new Cedar Springs logo, the strip on Cedar Springs. And so we would like anybody to submit drawings, plans, however they want to submit it to us.
Do you think we can find some creative people?
Not in our country.
I think this is one contest that will be very difficult because I think we're going to get a lot of submissions.
Do you know, last night I went to a meeting of a group called the Dallas Way, which is a new group that's trying to preserve the gay and lesbian history of Dallas. And doing it through a website, through some videotaping, through, you know, other things like that. And one of the areas that we're talking about, you know, they want to remember different people and their contributions. They want to remember different events. But one of the things that they were talking about was actual historical markers. And one of the places that they would like a historical marker, you know, at the Resource Center, because Resource Center will be moving to a new location. Well, it'd be nice to remember that this was the first gay and lesbian community center here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. But also Crossroads. Because it's not called Crossroads anymore.
No.
And people who haven't been down there won't even remember if, you know, old people like LaRon talk about, you know, I'm going down to the Crossroads. He knows what we're talking about.
I do.
I'll remember. But, you know, 20 years from now, people aren't going to remember. Why was this even called the Crossroads? And it's still referred to that way sort of sometimes. But they're talking about a historical marker because that was really the anchor store that brought the gay community to that area. There were bars in the area, but that was the first real anchor store that got things going.
That's funny. We were actually talking about that in our meeting. We really wanted to come up with, you know, the general reference for Cedar Springs. And a while back, it was the Crossroads. And unfortunately, a lot of the younger generation do not know what that means anymore. I mean, it's pretty much referred to as the Strip. And
yeah.
I think that's pretty much what we decided to go with is the Strip on Cedar Springs.
Mm-hmm. And, I think the loss of places like the Bronx, you know, it just broke my heart when the Bronx said they were closing and then they were getting bought out. And I thought, finally, a big parking garage. But no, it was the Omni Melrose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever they are right now.
We're not 100% sure what they're going to do now. I mean, I think the plans have gone back and forth. And the last rumor out there was that they were reopening the Bronx for a while, and so we did notice that there was some permits in the window, so we're hoping maybe that is true.
Awesome.
So we need to look into that more.
That place has been there like 35 years or something.
Yes. The Bronx is fantastic. You know, I think Stephen Pyle cut his teeth there, and so I mean it's been around quite some time. We would like some parking, and you know, we've been working very closely with the city. Actually talked about that a little bit in our meeting last week about pushing some parking garages or some areas or changing the zoning. Zoning is one of the biggest issues we have for bringing in more businesses. And that's not just Cedar Springs. Obviously, we concentrate on Cedar Springs, but all over Dallas zoning. The city of Dallas has some very bizarre and unusual zoning laws. And unlike any other major city in Texas or pretty much anywhere I've seen,
And Scott, why don't we talk about that right after our break? We need to take a little break. We're talking to Scott Weddall. He's the new executive director of the Cedar Springs Merchants Association. We're going to talk about Dallas zoning, how it helps, how it doesn't help.
I want to mention my idea for parking.
Okay, good. Oh, we love it.
And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Red Hot and Blue presents the 13th annual KNON Blues Festival, Saturday, January the 28th, and Sunday, January the 29th at Fort Davis Pub. This is KNON's own Greg A. Smith, here to tell you all about it. Get your tickets for a great show with Jim Sula and Monkey Beat, James Butler All-Star Blues Review with myself, Greg A. Smith, Ernie Johnson and Cookie McGee, Smokin' Joe Kubek with Bernard King, Andrew Jr. Boy Jones featuring Carrie Lee Pye, Pat Boyack and those pesky Javelinas, Mr. Houston and the Icebreakers, KNON's Blues Band with J Mac and Sonny Boy Moore, with special guests Zach Harmon, Hash Brown, and Aaron Burden Trio featuring Stompin' Bill Johnson, Leo Hall and the Texas Blues Machine, Johnny Red and the Roosters, Doro Danny Hill, Larry Lampkin, and Leno and Company. Tickets are only $10 and available now at KNON.org. Bill's Records, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, and all the Red Hot and Blue locations.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERImaging.com.
Hi, I'm Ecta from Utah, Dallas, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
This is Alex Hanselka, and you're listening to...
Hey, Alex.
Yeah, well... That's uncontinuous, and what would the show be without me pushing the wrong button?
Alrighty, was it a case of old bitter queens picking a cat fight, or just an old feud that will never die? After Madonna's win for Best Original Song over Elton John's song at this past Sunday night's Golden Globe Awards, Elton John's partner, David Furnish, took to Twitter with his thoughts about Madonna's win. He said, quote, "Thanks for all your supportive comments. Madonna winning Best Original Song truly shows how these awards have nothing to do with merit. Her acceptance speech was embarrassing in its narcissism." Now,
and his
he said more, but I can't say it on the air.
Right. And his comments, those were gracious.
Yeah. Right. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, Madonna and Elton have been going back and forth for years. She didn't sling any mud back. She just said that she adored him and that she didn't feel bad because he will win another award. Now, there was another really good moment at the Golden Globes with Jodie Foster. You want to tell us about it, or should we even?
Ricky Gervais came out and was basically dissing everybody in the room for about 5 minutes. I mean, nonstop. And he basically was giving Jodie Foster a hard time about her movie The Beaver, which, of course, didn't do well at the box office.
Didn't do well at all.
He played with the innuendo around that.
Yes.
And she handled...
What innuendo? I don't understand.
That's
go with it, Scott. No, Scott, you're better off.
Go with it. We'll talk about that cow semen later.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought she handled it very well.
She did. She was a really good sport about it. And if you really want to see what we're talking about, just look at it. It's on YouTube.
Now, I like what Ricky Gervais said ahead of the awards. They asked him if he's going to be just as, you know, whatever that he was last year. And he said, well, let's see. I can either keep our ratings up, get everybody who's watching entertained,
or I can pander to these millionaires who are sitting in the room. He said, I think I'm going to just pick on whoever I feel like.
And he did. In an interview with the Huffington Post, gay voice as drag superstar RuPaul says he loves the word tranny. RuPaul says that you have to go with the intent of the person saying it, and that he hates the fact that Lance Bass apologized for his use of the word recently because his intent would never be derogatory. He goes on to say that black folks call themselves the N-word all the time. It's because the intent is coming from a place of love, and if the intent is coming from a place of hatred, that's different. And we have talked about this for years now about the F-word and the N-word, and you know, I just really realized maybe in the past 6 months when Patty corrected me that now tranny is a bad word.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I didn't know that because I know some transgender people who throw it around all the time.
So now we have the T word.
So now we have the T word.
I mean, that's
so yeah. Now they can. So I don't know. What do you think about that? Is it?
I think it's another word we ought to ban.
What is the politically correct term?
A transgender person.
Transgender person.
Or just trans person.
Cisgender. Cisgender is kind of in vogue.
Yeah. You know.
But you know, that's up to them if they're offended by it, because it is thrown around in a really abusive sort of way.
Well, I mean, amongst themselves, you know, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Because it is
saying, I think it's with any word.
Yeah.
If it's about you, you can toss it around, but it's not kosher for others to. Because it's, you don't know what that intent is.
That's
true. It could be perfectly fine.
That's true.
And others who don't know you may think, wow. I mean, imagine it with the F word. If someone you don't know.
Well, see, I don't know any gay people that toss around the F word. It's like a term of endearment.
Yeah.
In the way that, like, black people use the N-word, which I don't do it, and I don't like, but I understand, hey, they, you know, a lot of us in that community do it. But the F-word, I don't know any gay people that toss that around, like, a term of endearment.
Oh, I've heard it tossed around in endearment and affection.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we usually just call it.
You gotta get out more, Laurent.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm an old daddy now. I want no sugar daddy.
Does Gabrielle call you that?
The F-word?
Mm-hmm.
A father? No, I'm daddy. I'm daddy. All right, after just two episodes, ABC has canceled the controversial talk show Work It, the new comedy about the two straight guys who dressed up as women in order to land jobs. Now, the show premiered to dismal ratings, and GLAAD and some other LGBT groups campaigned against it heavily, stating it was offensive to transgender people and that it was outdated. So, I mean, we knew that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, to the shock and awe of everybody, actress Kristen McNichol came out of the closet.
We talked about that last week, and we were just completely shocked.
Completely shocked. I mean, and I'm really not trying to crack a joke, but I thought everybody knew. And it goes back to what we've been...
How
do you know? They have to say it, apparently. They have to say it.
And this is something that we have a continuous discussion about, mm-hmm. just like our ongoing year after year discussion about Britney Spears and whether lesbians think she's hot. No.
Right.
No, they don't. If you're a lesbian out there and you think Britney Spears is hot,
give us a call.
We'd like to hear from you.
Or maybe you're not really a lesbian.
that's right. But, it's, you know, when officially a person comes out, we don't really... Unless they say the words, I am
Some
gay.
Most people need to officially come out. Kristen McNichol didn't.
She didn't officially come out? No, she's not.
She was the first lesbian character, recurring character on a TV show.
And she was on there with Meredith Baxter.
She was.
She didn't have to come in.
She didn't.
We knew.
We knew.
And we were just talking about Jodie Foster. She's a prime example. Mm-hmm. When she accepted an award at a big award thing in Los Angeles, and she thanked her partner, Sydney, my beautiful Sydney, for...
And that's where you and I differ. I don't think that's coming out.
See, I think it was.
I
think it's
like
her way of doing it.
I could have said, I want to thank my beautiful co-host, David.
And at the time, CNN reported...
That doesn't mean that David's my partner.
But
that's CNN, really gay, though. I'm sorry.
CNN at the time reported that she had come out, and other networks didn't. And so it was that murky kind of place again. And now
this was Anderson Cooper who was reporting it.
He got it.
Everywhere you go, they're everywhere.
And that's our entertainment report for today. Thank goodness. We're talking to Scott Whittall. He is the new executive director of the Cedar Springs Merchants Association. Lots of stuff going on Cedar Springs.
Last year, several new events that you did. There was one that was a big-time event, but just one time. I would say that the street party on Cedar Springs was basically the only successful party related to the Super Bowl that had been planned that actually got pulled off and worked.
We had a big gay Super Bowl party. I think that was the first one ever in the country.
It probably was the first, but what I'm saying is of all the Super Bowl parties that were planned, you know, there was the tent that collapsed, and there was the, you know, just all kinds of stuff that got canceled because of the snow. But the street party on Cedar Springs worked.
You know, we would have liked it to have been more successful than it was. Obviously, the weather did play a part with us, too. But we were able to get the street closed. And the weather held off long enough for us to get a decent crowd down there. And we had great entertainment on the street. It was very cold. So people were darting in and out of the clubs, you know, that night. But
That's part of why it worked.
Right. Oh, well, that does help. I mean, we have that unique situation where, you know, you can party on the street or run into clubs that are all over the place. So, and I think a lot of people did that last year. I mean, we were excited about the Super Bowl, and we wanted to party just with everybody else and celebrate. So we closed the street down, and, you know, the Saturday night before the Super Bowl, and we had a great party. And obviously, it was very, very frigid outside, and it was very cold. But people, anytime we had live entertainment, they'd all run out of the the bars, and they would support the live entertainment, and then they'd all run back into the bars. If we ever do that again, I think heaters in the street would probably be a good idea. But you never know in Dallas in February. I mean, look at it. It's going to be 72 this weekend. It was 72 the other day, so you never know what you're going to get in Dallas in February and January.
And does the Cedar Springs Merchants Association, do you do the Halloween party?
Actually, that is Cavan Enterprises does the Halloween party. That's Cavan's party. We do a lot of other events, street events now. The Halloween party is a great event. I mean,
and straight
you know,
people miles away.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Come to it.
Oh yeah, it's not a gay event at all. It's a Halloween party, and that's what it is. Halloween is Halloween. It's for everybody, and it's really a good time. I mean, you see everybody down there. I mean, because
the
it starts kind of
are
early.
Just so clever.
Oh, they are.
So clever.
I think this year was one of the. You know, you kind of go in these little waves of, you know, is it going to be a big costume year or is it not? And this year was spectacular. There
were
some
of the
amazing,
most popular.
You know,
you saw
everything. You saw everything this year. The older costumes, you know, there was a great Cruella de Vil. I mean, she was spectacular, you know, but you see a little bit of everything. Lots of Tony Romos, you know, straight men out there. That's fine. We got you down to Cedar Springs, so wear that Tony Romo jersey. You're good. But there was a lot of great costumes, sure. I mean, just really over the top costumes.
One of my all-time favorites was years ago. It was a guy dressed up as Tippi Hedren and the Birds. And fabulous heels and dress and everything, but these birds attached to her with, you know, and blood everywhere, all over her. But the birds were moving and cawing. And it was just the freakiest thing. But it was so well done. So well done. I'll never forget that.
One of the events that you took over at the last minute last year because of a bit of homophobia on the part of another group that usually puts the event on was Easter in the Park.
Yes, actually, it was interesting. We were actually sitting in a board meeting for the Merch Association when we got the call from the Dallas City Hall basically saying, you guys, you know, need to pick this up and run with it, and you only have a few days to throw this party. And because there was a little bit of tension between a couple
and basically what happened was the group that normally puts on Easter in the Park had decided to pull the Pooch Parade and put on its own family-friendly event the week before.
And a Pooch Parade's not? There's kids down there with their dogs.
Well, of course. No. It's, you know.
That's not.
However, the Dallas Symphony had budgeted $60,000 to perform in the park on Easter.
That's
when
correct.
Easter in the Park is held, which is why it's called Easter in the Park and not the week before Easter in the Park. the Pooch Parade and all of the vendors and everything else that goes along with that event were left high and dry because the sponsor of the event pulled
yanked
out,
it for the weekend before
for their own family-friendly event, which was a huge flop and is not going to happen again. So you got a call, help us pick this up, which I think is interesting that City Hall, I wonder what kind of relationship they have with any other merchants association, if it's the same sort of good working relationship where they can just call up and say, hey, Greenville Avenue, we need you to do this for us, and maybe we'll arrest
That's another situation where we're unique, because Cedar Springs is the dividing line between two council districts. And so we have Pauline Medrano, who we love dearly, and Angela Hunt, who we love dearly. So, you know, and we have very good working relationships with both our city councilwomen, and we're going to miss them a lot because both of them's terms are up after
We'll get new folks.
Yes, we will.
Years ago, when they drew those lines, the purpose was to divide the community so that we wouldn't have any power at City Hall.
And isn't that funny? Right. And it worked to our benefit, actually.
I know. So we got two, two council members out of it instead of one community of interest represented by one council.
And when two council people speak, people listen. So it really helps us that the fact that they were down there, both of them, at our meeting last week on Cedar Springs. So, I mean, we have a lot of support at City Hall, and that's why they called.
That does go both ways, and both respond to each other. When they called you for Easter last year, you picked it up. You found Dave Perriman, who's an event planner, and has helped with a number of other
events. David, yeah, he handles most of our events.
He just ran with it, got sponsors within a week, and Easter in the Park went on as planned.
Yeah, big thanks to Kroger, Petropolitan, MetroPCS. They came in at the last minute and saved it, and we were able to put on a really good Easter in the Park. In fact, it was one of the best ones we've had, and this year's going to be, now that we've had a year to plan, and you know, both our city council, you had Pauline and Angela, were there, and we'll be there hopefully this year, so now that we've had a year to plan, we're going to actually improve Easter in the Park with, I think we've got some interesting concepts coming up. You know, obviously we'll be able to advertise it more and get more people down there. But I think we're playing with some ideas of being able to reserve spots so you don't have to go down there at 6 a.m. and sit there all day just to obviously putting some stages in and more vendors, more food, more places to get something to drink and a little more entertainment down there. So it's, there's not these big lag times between the Pooch Parade and the symphony playing or we'd like it just to be, bang, bang, bang all the time. So you have something to do and some entertainment all the time. So it should be really exciting.
Now, before our last break, we were just talking a little bit about Dallas zoning and what some of the problems have been. Especially as it relates to Cedar Springs. You used to, and you were the founder of the coffee shop Bewley, and you've recently sold out, so, you know, this is not a commercial for it. Although we'd love Bewley.
Oh, the Bewley is wonderful.
Ron is one of our sponsors. You were trying to expand your business and ran into zoning problems, and other businesses along the way. There was another coffee shop that was supposed to go in next to where Tyrific is, and they had to abandon because of those zoning problems. They had already started building, which they shouldn't have done, but before those were resolved.
And back when the Roundup was trying to get their patio squared away when the smoking ordinance came in, and it was
a fiasco.
There's this red tape.
Gary and Alan can tell you all about that.
Parking is the heart of the zoning problem down there, though.
That is a big issue, especially for Cedar Springs.
I want to offer my parking idea.
Let's hear. I love that.
It's pretty simple, but just to get some parking garages in areas where land is available nearby and run buses. And you just pay your $10 and you can come and go every 15 minutes.
There's
actually
a property owner that is owns the property right behind the post office and Office Depot there on Shelby. And he would like to build a parking garage there. And that's exactly what he wants. And we would love that because it's in walking distance. You wouldn't even need a bus or anything. You can just tram it, you know. But zoning, unfortunately, will not allow him to put a parking garage.
So they want you to have enough parking, and then when somebody offers to build parking, they're not letting them.
Well, it's not easy to get zoning changed, and there's a huge process that you have to go through down at City Hall, and you have to show up to meetings, you have to have signatures, you have to have
just to get a waiver. I mean,
to get zoning changed to be able to build something there that's not a residential. You know, that's not residential.
There's not a lot right there anyway.
Right. That's our issue. The beauty of Cedar Springs is that it mixes residential and business together. I mean, it's a community. But unfortunately, the zoning laws in Dallas have really kind of tied our hands together right now in bringing new businesses in. And, you know, I think everybody will agree that that city's lifeblood is the taxes they receive from businesses, small businesses, large businesses. And small businesses are your lifeblood of your city. And right now, these zoning laws are really hurting us. I mean, for us, for instance, my own personal story is we opened Bewley, and it was a small coffee shop, but it became pretty popular pretty quick. And we needed more room. We needed more space. And we tried to take over the salon next to us. Moved. They moved, and so it was empty space, which would have doubled our space. And
that's precious space right there, because many businesses are there, have been there for years.
Right. That's correct.
Land a spot.
Right. It's very. And all we needed to do was knock a wall out. And so we actually went forward, had the, you know, architect come in, we were ready to go, and before we could get our permits, there were a couple walls thrown up by the city immediately. You know, parking, you'll need a lot more parking, and for this space. And this space obviously was a retail space already, so it had some parking, but there's a big difference between a salon and a restaurant. And
right.
So,
the city zoning says that if you're a restaurant or a bar, you have to have a certain number of spaces per square feet.
One per 100.
What is it?
It's one space per 100 square feet.
That's
as opposed to retail, which needs half.
One per four.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
so. Or less. I mean, some of them get by with less. And so it's upsetting because I've personally known six friends who've tried to open businesses in Dallas and have failed from the beginning because of parking constraints and things like that. So it was very difficult for us. And we had two really good customers who'd been coming in for quite some time and kind of saw our frustration and said, you know, we really want to own Bewley the way it is and keep it the way it is. And so we'll buy it from you. And we said, oh, make us an offer. And they did. And we wish them the best of luck. We love Bewley still and hope, you know, that they love it as much as we did for the last 8 years.
And we're talking to Scott Whittall. He's the executive director of the Cedar Springs Merchants Association. We're talking Cedar Springs. We're going to be talking cow semen. We've been promising that, and too bad LaRon couldn't stay. He had to run off to work. But we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly every Sunday at noon Central Time on KNON 89.3 FM.
And obviously it isn't Sunday at noon.
Right.
I pulled an old CD with some old bumpers that we had because my regular CD is sitting in my office and I couldn't get to it and I didn't realize
it. Back in your car.
I didn't realize it until 5 o'clock this morning. So I pulled the old one and we're actually, it's not Sunday at noon right now, if you didn't know.
Yeah, we've moved to Wednesday mornings.
Well, but I just wanted anybody who was listening to not wake up and think, well, it's not Sunday. Sunday at noon, I don't have to go to work today. Yes, you do.
You've lost 4 days.
We're talking to Scott Whittall. He's the executive director of the Cedar Springs Merchants Association. Scott used to own the coffee shop Bewley on Cedar Springs and got an offer and decided to go off and run his other business, which is collecting cow semen. Do I have that right?
Or we do have a cattle business. Guy. Yes, we do. My partner Alan should be here talking about this more than me. He's he's been doing it for all of his life, actually,
because he works for Morgan Stanley.
Right. That's we're in the genetic side of cattle. We raise cattle. We do have cattle with, you know, the hooves and everything. We have, you know, heifers and bulls, but we concentrate more on the genetic side of the cattle.
You live in Oak Cliff.
We live in Oak Lawn area.
Oh, you live in Oak Lawn. Okay, so
you live in Oak Cliff.
I live in Oak Cliff.
Right.
I know that.
We have to reorient, David.
Right. So, and it's Wednesday.
And it is okay. Wednesday, and so you keep your cows in Oak Lawn?
No, we actually have our cattle in Madisonville, Texas, which is basically 1 hour outside of Houston.
Madisonville.
And then, where the mushrooms are.
And the Buc-ee's.
Right, Buc-ee's. We love Buc-ee's. That's like my highlight of going down there is stopping on the way down and on the way back. And
a quick aside, Centerville, you got to stop at Woody's either side.
Well, we love Woody's.
And pick up a copy of the Buffalo Express.
Okay.
And the Centerville News. They're 50 cents each, and they're only weeklies. But the best reading you'll have for the next week.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially the police beat. Trust me, it's 50 cents.
How did you get into this business?
Well, Alan, my partner Alan, we've been together 10 years, and so I kind of married it. I married the cattle business. But I didn't know much about the cattle business back 10 years ago. And ask me anything now. He's been in and out of it most of his life. And we had a friend of ours, and the first year we were together, Alan's birthday came up, and I had no idea what to get him. And so a friend of his was speaking with me and asked if I was at my computer. And I said, sure. And she said, well, I just emailed you something. And I said, what? She goes, perfect gift for Alan. And I said, well, what is it? And she goes, well, open it up. So I opened the email. It's a picture of this huge red cow. And I'm like, it's a red cow. And I said, what, you want me to buy him a rug or something? And she goes, no, the cow. And she goes, this is a perfect heifer. And I said, okay.
Wow.
So I bought him a heifer, and that heifer went on to be the grand champion at Houston a couple years later. So
I got to ask, what was his reaction when he first learned it was a cow he was getting?
Oh, he was ecstatic. I mean, you know, Alan had gone to he did his undergrad work at A&M and his grad work at A&M, and undergrad animal husbandry and grad work in finance. So perfect combination to run a cattle business. And so I think it was a perfect time for him to get back in the business. And yeah. We've built a herd since then.
I guess one of the reasons I'm asking is, do you know any other gay couples who are
actually
cow semen?
Actually, we do. Yeah, and that's what's funny. I mean, you know, once you get into the business, there are a lot of gay people who are in the cattle business. A lot, believe it or not. And you know, it's great. You know, I mean, it's all in your upbringing. I mean, Alan was raised this way. I mean, he was raised around, you know, FFA and 4-H, and you know, I think his first animal that he raised were hogs, and then he, you know, graduated to cattle. And
or as
and
Patty called it just before the show, 4F.
4FFAH. But he, I mean, and that's you know, it was just in his upbringing. It's just the way he was raised.
So Brokeback Mountain came out, and
did get a call.
Oprah's looking for a good themed show,
and the call.
You had just won the Houston Livestock Show.
Yes, we've been very lucky.
Was that your red cow?
Actually, I believe it was a bull, one of our bulls that year that won Grand Champion. And
so Oprah calls.
Oprah Studio calls and asks to interview Alan and I, and they were doing like a little preliminary on the phone interview to decide whether we were, I guess, interview worthy. And I just basically stopped her in mid sentence and said, "Honey, if you're looking for, you know, two cowboy boot, tobacco chewing, 10-gallon hat wearing boys holding hands and kissing, you're barking at the wrong tree." And she said, "Thank you very much for your candor." Click, and that was it. So.
Because here you were serving cappuccino.
I was, I'm, you know, we're two boys that you know, raise cattle, you know, and run a coffee shop.
So how do you raise cattle if you're not down there?
Well, no, we have partners. We have cattle partners. I mean, our company's called Trio, triocattle.com. And you can, we have
three so,
so, I mean, there are, you know, people taking care of them, of the cattle all the time. Alan is down there pretty much every weekend, or more. We have most of our show cattle are in Ponder, Texas. So that's not far. I mean, it's just north of Denton.
Right. Fort Worth.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, you're talking about, the genetic side. That's what we do the most. I mean, we are in the top end of the cattle business where we don't really raise cattle for slaughter. We raise cattle for breeding and, so that people can, you know, develop a really nice herd. And we are in the Brangus. We are in the Brangus side of it. So Brangus is a 3/8, 5/8 mix of Angus and Brahma, which is a great hot weather cow, basically hot weather cattle. I mean, they can take the heat and not lose muscle mass. So they become a really good meat cow. And so we do a lot of our businesses out of the United States. We ship semen, bull semen, and embryos to everywhere, you name it, Australia. We have partners in Australia. And we're actually, there's a huge Brangus Congress this year. It's their biggest show of the year. And
how do you harvest eggs?
Well, there, you know,
surgically.
There's a, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's called flushing. You flush heifers, you flush them, and you get embryos, basically. And then, of course, I'm not going to go into detail on how you collect a bull.
Yeah, let's not. We tried to do that before the show, and it didn't.
But then, I mean, literally, the embryos and the semen are shipped in cryogenic tanks. You know, these tanks that have the nitrous in them, and then they're shipped all over. We shipped to Australia, South Africa.
So,
Paraguay.
What about this? Did Oprah not think was being a traditional Texas cowboy?
So probably the fact that we weren't sitting on horses and running up to, you know, the mountains for a quickie.
I bet you don't even have the jacket.
Right, that's right. Oh, I think Alan does, actually. He probably does.
Or we can ask our guest from a couple of weeks ago about bringing the jacket. Rick Perry's nemesis.
Rick Perry's jacket.
Actually, Glenn Maxey does have the jacket.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. He was actually featured on the cover of Outsmart magazine in Houston. And he did the whole Brokeback thing with his jacket and the pastoral.
You just can't quit me.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we've talked the cow semen part of it about as much as any of us are.
And I thank you.
Understand or
well, I do think it's great, Scott, that you and your partner are into this business because there's this, you know, the laws in Texas that allow really anybody to herd cattle,
right,
in order to meet some, you know, land tax advantages and such, that there are, you know, cattle in the weirdest places.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
You go to Coppell, you know.
Oh yeah, you drive up to Plano. I mean, there's longhorns right there. You know, you're driving out to the like where the JCPenney's offices are. You know, here's this corporate giant, and right outside are, you know, these fields with longhorns walking
exactly.
around. Right,
exactly. So it's just interesting that there's actually somebody who is into the business, not just keeping cattle to have on their land.
Well, that's what's great about Texas. I mean, we can live in the city and raise cattle. You know, we don't raise cattle in the city, but we're very close to where our cattle are.
I do live in the city, and I have a next-door neighbor who has horses.
Right, so, yeah.
So that's not that unusual in Dallas. Let's get back to Cedar Springs. You have some events that are coming up. One of the biggest events that you took over last year, or not took over, but revived last year, was Razzle Dazzle.
Razzle Dazzle was revived in 2011, and what a revival it was. I mean, it turned out to be an amazing night. We have, for so long now, there's not been a June Pride event. And obviously, everybody knows that Pride is celebrated in Dallas in September, and what an amazing job the Tavern Guild does with that parade, and really the month worth of events in that time. But it's there was a void, obviously, with Dallas, you know, kind of missing out the National Pride Month, which is June. And years and years ago, there was a great event called Razzle Dazzle, and it was pretty much touted as the June Pride event. And so.
And big street party.
It was a huge street party. Well, you know, it evolved because it started off the street. They had it in multiple areas, and one time I think it was in a car pound, you know.
The auto pound used to be on Inwood Road, where it's some buildings that are now UT Southwestern, but the auto pound had just been abandoned, and so they took it over and ran electricity into it from I don't know where.
Generators, right.
I guess it was generators that year, and there were these sheds, because the cars were parked in the pound under these sheds, and that's where this big party took place. Then they couldn't use it anymore.
Right. It went from dangerous. Place to place to place. It
so
was in the West
moved
End.
Downtown to the West
Probably
End.
Probably a zoning issue.
Probably right. was. I think that was a danger issue right. and a rats issue. So they moved down to the West End. Now, this was before the West End was developed.
Right. And there was a warehouse.
They had it
there
in an
warehouse.
Abandoned warehouse. And again, running electricity from across the street to from buildings that were not abandoned. So this party used to be just, you know, really kind of, it was kind of like a pre-rave type
thing. Exactly, that's true. And then as it grew, and more people started coming, and more people were buying. Now, again, another zoning issue is, if you have a street party, you can't charge admission. If you're closing a street down, you can't charge admission in the city of Dallas. So The way they raised money for Razzle Dazzle back then was they would have it off-site. And I remember one of the largest ones was at the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. but they were able to charge admission for it. Well, now, you know, we revived Razzle Dazzle. I mean, there were many reasons, you know, rumors of why it went away years and years ago. At its peak, you know, I believe the last Razzle Dazzle that occurred had almost 40,000 people at it, which is, you know, a huge event.
And there were booths, and yeah. every organization was out
right,
there.
Right, that's exactly right. It was a community deal. Event. And the whole idea of Razzle Dazzle from the beginning and even now is it's a give back. We give back to the community what is raised. Every dime that is raised, last year, our very first year back, we gave $60,000 back to the community, to multiple AIDS and community service organizations. So we were very excited to the Merchant Association to be able to revive this event. And what a great first event we had. I mean, the street was beautiful. We had a great turnout. The weather was incredible. We had really, really amazing two nights of entertainment. We kind of rolled the Metro Ball into the Razzle Dazzle umbrella. So we had a Friday night event, and then the big Saturday night event. We had a daytime event. We had a pub crawl. And all of this is coming back this year. And again, it is a 100% sponsored event. We go out and we get sponsors. Last year, our presenting sponsor was Bud Light, and I'm pretty sure that they will be again this year. A lot of smaller sponsors came in, Stoli and Undergear, and they came in and basically funded the event, so that we had donations all over the place, donation boxes everywhere and at every entrance to the gate. Again, the city of Dallas, this was the first event that the new laws of the fencing, you have to fence in an event. So we kind of were the guinea pigs for that, which actually, you know, aside from putting them up and taking them down, it's not a bad thing. You know, it does kind of control your crowd better, and you're able to, you know, to put your donation boxes at the entrances. So through donations and everything, through the Metro Ball, through Razzle Dazzle, we were able to get back over 60,000, and we'd really like to increase that this year. So we're really, really excited. We call it Razzle Dazzle Days, because there are several events leading up. Our wine walks that we do on Cedar Springs this year, wine and pet walks, kicking it off with a kind of a Razzle Dazzle wine walk. So it'll be more like a little Razzle Dazzle wine walk festival on Wednesday night. Thursday night is a pub crawl. Friday night is the Metro Ball. Am I giving you the dates? They start, Razzle Dazzle is, starts on June 6th this year. That's Wednesday, June 6th, and goes through Saturday, June 9th. So Saturday day, before Razzle Dazzle this year, we're actually closing the whole street down all day long. We're going to have a day festival. The Classic Chassis Car Club's coming in, so we're having this antique car show.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Artists, yes, they are. And they're so much fun to work with. We've actually done it a few. We've had antique car shows, but this year we're rolling it into Razzle Dazzle. So it's going to be an amazing event this year. VIP tickets, I would tell everybody to get a VIP pass, because it gets you into all the events every single day. It's only $100. And believe me, the VIP pavilion, Razzle Dazzle,
parking.
It includes parking, includes drinks, food. It's well worth it for that. So it's razzledazzledallas.org on that one.
And Scott, wow. We are just about running out of time. I want to thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Come back and see us again.
Okay.
Oh,
anytime.
Absolutely. Certainly. Come back.
And our guest next week is Giancarlo Massi. He's putting together a big GSA event at Youth First Texas, and he's going to come talk to us about it.
Excellent. More Utes.
More Utes. More Utes next week.